From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, August 31st, 2026. Federally funded health clinics in Maine say the state has failed to implement a $6.5 million cost of living increase as required by law. They're urging the Department of Health and Human Services to resolve the issue as the state's largest health center faces bankruptcy. Patty White reports.
Darcy Shargo of the Maine Primary Care Association says health centers have already budgeted for a cost of living increase they expected would take effect in July.
We have to have a system where our chief primary care providers are actually able to rely on COLAs as part of doing business and staying afloat, and also shoring up what's already working really well.
But DHHS Deputy Commissioner Molly Bogart says the state is not obligated to provide an annual cost of living increase.
The state and the department have to balance their budgets and make hard decisions when the numbers don't work out as we would all love.
Some lawmakers say the state should draw from the Maine Care Stabilization Fund to resolve the issue, but the department says it's restricted from doing so. Last week, the state's largest health center, Penobscot Community Healthcare, announced it needs $3 million to avoid bankruptcy. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Maine Health closed its addiction psychiatry program in Damariscotta today. The system's president of behavioral health services, Kelly Barton, says they made the decision after the program's only psychiatrist decided to resign. Barton says 100 patients are being transitioned to programs in Brunswick and Rockland.
We're not retreating from Lincoln County. Our commitment to the community is very strong, and I really want to reinforce that. And we're actively working towards bringing expanded behavioral health services back to Lincoln County.
Barton says the health system is awaiting federal funding to open a new treatment facility in Damariscotta, which may take a few years. The University of Maine system is reporting its highest early enrollment in a decade, despite declines at the flagship campus in Orono and at the University of Southern Maine. System Chancellor Daniel Malloy says the growth is primarily due to an increase of more than 1,500 students in the system's online degree completion program, Your Pace, which is hosted by the University of Maine at Presque Isle.
That very rapid growth at Presque Isle is almost exclusively because of this program, and has attracted so many more folks, particularly people who, for one reason or another, may have walked away from finishing a degree.
The preliminary data released today show an overall dip in international and out-of-state students compared to this time last year, and an increase in Canadian students. In towns across Maine, voters will be using new machines to scan ballots this upcoming election day. But Secretary of State Shanna Bellows says voters probably won't notice much of a difference. The vast majority of municipalities in Maine use optical scanners to count votes after the polls close. Bellows says her office has upgraded all of those machines to a newer version of the same scanner and tabulator produced by the firm Election Systems and Software.
For voters, it'll be a very similar experience, except we hope that those lines will go faster because the scanning of the ballots will be faster.
Bellows says those tabulators are never connected to the internet, which prevents them from being hacked. The U.S. Department of Defense doesn't have enough staff or technology to complete cognitive assessments for all high-risk active duty service members. Those are the conclusions in a new report from the Government Accountability Office. It found that only 86% of required assessments were completed last year. The assessments are part of an effort to monitor the brain health of service members exposed to blasts and were ordered in the wake of a mass shooting in Lewiston by Army Reservist Robert Card. Card, the man who killed 18 people in Lewiston in October 2023, was repeatedly exposed to blasts as an Army Reservist. Forensic testing found he had a brain injury, raising questions about whether it was related to his service. The Department of Defense says it will conduct reviews to determine what resources are needed to assess and monitor brain health. The number of fatal motorcycle crashes in Maine this year has already exceeded last year's total. Nate McLaughlin, an analyst with the Maine Bureau of Highway Safety, says there have been 28 fatal crashes so far this year compared to 24 last year. He says common factors include speed, alcohol, and substance use, as well as other vehicles that fail to yield to motorcyclists.
We as drivers get so used to looking for that larger four-wheeled object that sometimes it is very hard to notice a much smaller motorcycle coming. So just taking that second look in each direction just to make sure someone's not coming before you proceed through an intersection.
McLaughlin urges motorcyclists to obey traffic laws and to consider rider education classes. And Wyndham resident Brandon Barker has won the Oxford 250, Maine's most prominent race car competition, with a $25,000 prize. The race began on Sunday night but didn't finish until around 1 a.m. due to a more than two-hour rain delay. Finishing second was Johnny Clark of Hallowell, with Joey DeWaron of Berwick third. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, the Penobscot Nation. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.